We read it, Tivot Shalom, Parshat Vayichi, page Shin, back on Zoom, where it all started, where these recordings started around 1 year ago. That's right, embrace it, love it. We're on page Shin, the first piece on Parshat Vayichi. Vayichi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shevas Reishana. It says in the Pasuk, Vayichi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shevas Reishana, Vayichi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayav Sheva Shanim Va'arba'im Ume'at Shana. Parshat Vayichi opens up and says, Yaakov lived in Eretz Mitzrayim 17 years, and the years of Yaakov's life, were 147 years. HaMefarshim Amdu Al Kach, Mefarshim say about this Pasuk, L'shem Ma Katva HaTorah HaKadosha SheYaakov Chai B'Mitzrayim Shvasrei Shana. For what purpose does the Torah tell us that Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim for 17 years? What's the purpose of that? Hare Kvar Mifurash BeKatuv SheKashir Yarad LeMitzrayim Haya Bein Mea U'Shoshim Shana. We already know that when he went down to Mitzrayim, he was 130 years old. U'Mimela Yadina SheChai B'Mitzrayim Shvasrei Shana. We automatically know, meaning the Torah doesn't go out of its way to double itself. If it told us how old he was when he went down, and it told us how old he was when he died, so we know how long he spent there. Why is the Torah going out of its way to tell us that he spent the last 17 years? Why does it calculate it for us that he spent the last 17 years in Mitzrayim? U'ma Ba Katuv Lo. What is it coming to teach us? Next paragraph. Ve'ish lavina inyan. We can understand this by going into the fact. Dimi romaz kan inyan yiridato shel Yaakov l'mitzrayim. That it's hinting to the idea of Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim. Al pi ma'adita b'sfar ma'kedoshim dinyan galut Mitzrayim. Okay, I actually scanned this piece. I picked this piece for you. I looked at this piece. I was going to do it with Shana Aleph. And this piece, I know you don't ever read them beforehand. We just go into it and learn it together. But I scanned it first to see what it's basically going to talk about. And I picked this for you as our last piece to learn together as part of Shana Bet, where he talks about why is Yaakov, what is the meaning, and what is Yaakov going out to accomplish when he goes out into Galut. So I know that many of you, you have a little more time here. We don't have another class together. But what is the concept? Meaning, take this personally, Kilu. I picked this piece with you all in mind. What does it mean to leave Eretz Yisrael, and what's the meaning? Yaakov Avinu was living in Mitzrayim very happily. What does it mean to go, that he was going into Galut, and how do we make the most of that, and how do we understand that? Tov. The answer to the question was yes. The person who asked. V'yesh la'avina inyan. Dimurumask on the beginning of the paragraph. This is hinting to inyan yiridato shel Yaakov Mitzrayim. What him going down to Mitzrayim is hinting to. Al pima de'ita b'svarim hakedoshim, that which the svarim hakedoshim say, the inyan galut Mitzrayim, that the concept of the exile in Egypt, haya kedei levarer ulehaalot et nitzotzot hakedusha shayusam. The reason why Yaakov had to go to Mitzrayim is he went there. There's a purpose in him going there. He goes there in order to separate out, to find, and to raise up the holy sparks. The sparks of Kedusha that were there in Mitzrayim. Umevaar b'sefer be'er mayim chayim. The sefer be'er mayim chayim says, Shetchilat ha'tikun shel galut Mitzrayim, ha'itah kvar al yidei ha'avot ha'kedoshim. That the beginning of the fixing of Galus Mitzrayim, the fixing of the reality of Galus Mitzrayim, was already started by the Avos themselves. Top of the next column. Asher salalu et haderech livnei Yisrael ha'atidim laredet Mitzrayimah. That already paved the way for Klal Yisrael that was going to go down to Mitzrayim. Shelo yishke'u b'tum'at eretz Mitzrayim. Ervata aretz, that they wouldn't be consumed, they wouldn't sink into the tum'ah, the impurity of Eretz Mitzrayim, this reality of Ervata aretz. Ukidita bechazal, chazal say, shahamitzrim hayush tufezima. The Mitzrim were mamish enmeshed in spiritual impurity. They were living in a reality of tum'ah. This is with the reality of Mitzrayim. There's so many things into it. He talked about here, he mentioned Ervata Aretz. Ervata Aretz literally means the nakedness of the land, that the reality of Mitzrayim is the reality of, this reality of Arayot. One of the concepts that brings it out is the fact that it's brought down by Chazal, that in Makat Bechorot, so in every single house there was a Bechor, in every single house the Bechor died. And Chazal bring out that in every house, every single parent, the parents in the house, knew who the Bechor was. But one of the many shocks of Makat Bechorot was that when they woke up the next morning, the one that they thought that was the Bechor didn't die and somebody else died. Because they were all having arayos with each other. This one was really the firstborn of that one. And this one was really the firstborn of that one. And none of the firstborn was really the firstborn of that couple. That's how bad the arayos in Mitzrayim were. It all comes back to the original story in Mitzrayim. The original fight in Mitzrayim. Who's the first person to go down and fight in Mitzrayim? To fight the battle to own Mitzrayim is Yosef. And the reality, what does Yosef overcome? The big test for Yosef in Mitzrayim is with Eshet Potiphar. He overcomes the erva, the arayos of Mitzrayim. He paves the way for the men to overcome the arayos of Mitzrayim. Similarly, by the way, Chazal bring out, he does it for the men. But Chazal actually link it back even further than that. That who was the first person to go down to Mitzrayim? It was really Avram and Sarah. Avram does not struggle with arayos of Mitzrayim, but who does? Sarah does. And Sarah paves the way for Kedusha by the women in Mitzrayim. Well before Yosef does, then Yosef comes to sanctify the reality of Mitzrayim for the men, and that's how Klal Yisrael, Maaseh Avot Siman LeBanim, that's how Klal Yisrael is able to go and overcome the deep arayos and the tum'ah, the depth of the spiritual impurity of Mitzrayim. Again, they're shtufei zima, they're completely enveloped in zima and tum'ah and impurity and arayos. U'makom atamei hazeh, in this place of tum'ah, Hayu Yisrael tzuchim liyot. Klal Yisrael, we're going to have to be in this reality of Mitzrayim. V'imayu noflim chas v'shalom b'klipa hazot. Kvar lo hayu yicholim leheichaletz misham. If they would have sunken into the tum'ah of Mitzrayim, if they would have been overcome by the tum'ah of Mitzrayim, there's no way out. You can't get out. The tum'ah of Mitzrayim is so strong. There's no way out. Al kein ha'avot ha'kedoshim. Hichniu k'tzat tokef ha'klipa. Therefore, the avos, when they go down, they're machnia, they subjugate a little bit the strength of the tumah of Mitzrayim, the strength of the klipa of Mitzrayim. Kadesh yuchlu Yisrael latzeit misham b'shalom. So that way, Klal Yisrael will be able to overcome it and leave Mitzrayim in shalom. Umikoach zehayu gedurim sham ba'arayot. And that's why, and because of this, through the strength of what the avos did, through the strength of the seeds planted by Avram and Sarah and Yosef and Yaakov and Yehuda, all of these, by the strength of what they planted in Mitzrayim, they were able to keep strong and create a boundaries in arayos and maintain tara and the reality of arayos. Vizehayan yirida, as we said, because Kilo, we're all walking in the footsteps of giants. Vizehayan yan yiridat Avraham v'saralashan. That's also why, like we said, why Avram and Sarah have to go down to Mitzrayim. Shem tiknu sham tikunim kedei sheYisrael yuchlu achar kach liyichazik sham b'ma'amad. That they went and they did tikunim there. They were fixing things in Mitzrayim, Avram and Sarah. Meaning it's not stam. It's a crazy thing. We talked about this for those who were in my Chumash class last year. We talked about this, how crazy it is. That in the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, the whole thrust of it is, Avrinu, Lech Lecha, mi'artzecha, mi'latatecha, mi'vitavicha, la'artzerecha, go into this land that I'm going to tell you. Go to this land that I'm going to tell you. And the big test is, I'm not going to tell you, but go. And within a few psukim, he's already there. The next paragraph, a few psukim later, what happens? He gets to Mitzrayim and there's a famine. He's got to go to Egypt. It's like crazy. Again, if that's the way it goes, and there's a lot to discuss in terms of why he has to go to Mitzrayim, what that's setting up, what's the aspect of Maaseh Avot Siman LeBanim there. But even again, just on a simple Ashkafic level, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew what he was doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go to Eretz Yisrael, he told him to settle, and he needed him for a short time to go to Mitzrayim, to do something significant. He's fixing something in the reality of Mitzrayim, and then he's able, after he does that, after he makes those tikkunim, after he makes those fixings in Mitzrayim, he's then able to go, he comes back up, and he comes back to Eretz Yisrael. Shazikuch shel klipat Mitzrayim hayal yidei Sarah. Like we mentioned before, again, I must have seen him quote this, so I was just quoting what I seen him quote before, that the purification of the impurity of Mitzrayim was through Sarah. Shenech lekalip the Beit Paro. She was taken away to Beit Paro, and in the entire time Beit Paro, impossibly, literally, miraculously, nothing happens to her. She manages to stay tahora. Shamru Chazal, as Chazal say, Ki Paro ratza latet la kol hon shba olam. Paro was willing to give the world to her. He was willing to give her anything. Val yidei zeh, top of the next page. Val yidei zeh sheme'ana bo, hichniak tzad zaklipa. The fact that she refused him, she was not able to be tempted by anything. The greatest king in the greatest superpower of the world said, whatever you want, I'll give you. I'll give you whatever you want. She said, no. I'm kadosh, I'm tahor. I'm married, I belong to Avram. That's my reality. That's my life. I'm a Jewess. I'm the first Jew. I'm the first Jew. I'm not breaching anything in the realm of Arayot. The Acharkach, and then afterwards, Yarad Sham Yos Lisham Yosef. Then Yosef goes down. Shatiher Vitzikena Tazuama Hanora Ashim Yisrael. He mamish cleanses. Impossibly, he cleanses the tumah of Mitzrayim. He cleanses the disgust, the dirt, the spiritual impurity of Mitzrayim. Ervat ha'aretz, this reality of arayos, v'ichnisham koach kedusha, and he brings a reality of kedusha impossibly into Mitzrayim. K'mamara katuv, as it says in the pasuk, v'yihi k'tabrai lav yom yom, that Eshet Potifar. It's not that Eshet Potifar took a pass at him. Eshet Potifar, day in and day in and day out, tries to chip it away at him, whittle him down. And we're talking about, again, if you want to bring it down to human levels, we're talking about Yosef, so you can't. But let's pretend to bring it down to human levels for a second. Okay, this is Yosef, who was sold in his late teens into slavery in Egypt. His chances of ever getting married and having a physical relationship are zero. And this beautiful woman is asking him to be together. And there's danger to him if he doesn't. And he says, no, of course, I can't. Day in and day out, he says, no, he resists those urges. He resists Olam Hazeh. He resists Arayos. Again, that was humanizing it a little bit more than Yosef, than is relevant to Yosef. But Yosef goes and he says, no, this is not who I am. I refuse to become part of the Arayos of Mitzrayim. Day in and day out, she's trying to tempt him. And what does the Medrash say on this? The Ita, the Medrash Shalom says, every single day he needed Mesiras Nefesh. Every single day. And by the way, so to by every single one of us. When we go back, we re-enter the regular, we re-enter the real world. If you're going off to college, it might be Zoom college, but when eventually the real world starts again, one day, Bezrat Hashem Bekarov, right? So one day when the real world starts again, you go off to college. If you're not going to a Jewish college, the tests are every day. When you go off into the working world, the tests are every day. You go off to graduate school, the tests are every day. Every day. That's the reality of life. And honestly, even if you go to a Jewish college, the tests are every day. If you're going to a Jewish college in New York, you're around the riots in New York all the time. Even if you're looking for a nice, good Jewish boy, okay, so Baruch Hashem, the Jewish colleges, they have boys' campuses and girls' campuses, and they make sure to ship you all to the boys' campus at least three times a day for Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, to make sure that you're davening three times a day for a shidduch. Like, don't worry, there's going to be plenty of opportunities and plenty of challenges in our riots. That's the reality of this world, the biggest type that there is. Bechol yom vayom hayatzarich lemesiras nefesh. Every single day. Every single day, he needed Mesiras Nefesh, and this is Yaakov by a married non-Jewish woman. He needed that Mesiras Nefesh. Think about it. Every day, surrounded by people who are single, surrounded by people who may be a good prospect. Meaning, like, it's not pashut. Every day is the fight of Arayos on that literal level, and also obviously on many, many other levels as well. In terms of how we speak, in terms of what we listen to, in terms of what we look at, on all levels. Every day is Mesiras Nefesh. Every day is Mesiras Nefesh in Arayos. V'shamach nabo v'chol yom v'alzeh. He mamash was giving his life every day to keep from sinning. V'achar kach hayah nisayon ha-gadol came, the biggest test of all. V'al yidei shikaber. And since he overcame, he chnia ksat et koach ha-klipa. He was able to subjugate a little bit, to break a little bit, the klipa of Mitzrayim. He was able to crack the klipa of the Arayos of Mitzrayim. And that's what allowed the Jewish people to break through. That was the main goal of his Yerida to Mitzrayim. The main goal of him going down to Mitzrayim. In order that Klal Yisrael would be able to be sustained there, and to be able to stand strong, to remain strong in the realm of Arayos, and to be able to overcome it when they went down themselves. Ukmamar Chazal, as Chazal say, Sarai minu, this is what I was quoting before, this midrash. Sarai minu yardal mitzrayim v'gadra atzma mina arayo, mina erva. Sarah went down to Mitzrayim, and she guarded herself, made fences for herself around Arayos, v'nigderu kol anashim b'skuta. And all the women of Klal Yisrael, when they went down as Klal Yisrael, were protected in her sklus, because of what she did. Yosef yarad l'mitzrayim. Yosef goes down to Egypt. V'gadaret v'mina erev, and he guards himself on Arayos. V'nigderu Yisrael b'zchuto, and all of Klal Yisrael is saved because of him. V'zeh ha'ita, next paragraph, v'zeh ha'ita gam tachlit yiridat Yaakov l'Mitzrayim. This is also the deeper meaning of the fact that Yaakov himself has to go to Mitzrayim. Lehagbir et koach ha'gedusha ulehachniat godel tum'at Mitzrayim. To strengthen the koach of Kedusha and to subjugate the tremendous tumah of Mitzrayim. And this is hinted to in the Pasuk. That Yaakov lives in Mitzrayim for 17 years. Famously, 17 in Gematria is Tov. That somehow, without getting into it, that Tov is a reality of fixing issues in Arayos. Dinei. Pigamim elu nikra'im ra. It's going to go into a little bit. Because these issues in these areas are called ra. Issues in the areas are called ra. Kimo dichtiv, as it says, the first people who bring out in an overt way and are punished for it very, very strongly are Er and Onan. Er and Onan, the sons of Yehuda, the first ones to marry Tamar. So they both die. And it says they were ra be'enei Hashem. They were evil in the eyes of God. And it's brought out, what was ra? So you look in the Pesukim there. Was that they were married to Tamar, but intentionally made sure that they didn't get her pregnant and spilled their seed on the ground. That breach of Arayos made them ra. Breaches in Arayos are a reality of ra. And Yaakov comes down to metakin the ra of Mitzrayim, the Arayos of Mitzrayim, he comes down with Tov. Tov to change over, to fix the Ra. He comes down for 17 years, Gematria Tov, to fix the Ra. Kemoditiv, let's see it inside. Vahi Er b'chor Yehuda Ra b'enei Hashem. Again, Er was Ra b'enei Hashem. It was even his name. Er is Ayin Reish. You flip the letters, you get Ra. He was Ra to his core. V'tikun ha'pigamim nikra Tov. And the fixing of this is called Tov. Kemoditiv. Imru tzadik ki tov. The tzadik is tov. Remember, the tzadik, tzadik yisod olam. The tzadik, Yosef is the tzadik. Tzadik yisod olam. Yosef is the midah of yisod. Yisod is all about fixing the issues of Arayos. The tzadik is all about being tov. It's all about fixing issues with Bris Kodesh. It's all about fixing issues of Arayos. Tzadik hu midat yisod. That's what he's saying here. Tzadik is the midah of yisod. Tzadik is the attribute of yisod in the sfirot, chesed, vrua, tiferet, netzach, hod, yisod, malchut. Each one's corresponds to the part of the body. The chesed is the right arm. Gvura is the left arm. Tiferet is the torso. Netzach is the right leg. Hod is the left leg. And then in the center line, again, the reproductive area of the body, that's yisod. Tzadik yisod olam. The tzadik is the one who's mitakin the yisod. The tzadik purifies the reality of yisod. And the tzadik is tov, because tov is the purification of the reality of yisod. The tikkun, the fixing of this midah of yisod, this is the reality of tov. And through Yaakov coming and living in Mitzrayim for 17 years, the gematria itself of tov, he managed to subjugate a little bit the klipa of Mitzrayim. Kidei shiuchlu Yisrael laredet shama. V'latzeit kidurim be'arayot, in order that Klal Yisrael be able to go down, and to latzeit kidurim be'arayot, they would be able to come out having been guarded, having protected themselves in the realm of arayot. Uvelo zehayu nishka'im chas v'shalom lenetzach beklipat Mitzrayim. If not for this, they would have sunk in chas v'shalom forever into the klipa of Mitzrayim. They never would have been able to come out of the tomb of Mitzrayim. V'lakach katva Torah kedosha, and that's why the Torah goes out of its way to say, Vayichi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim shvasrei shana. That Yaakov comes to Eretz Mitzrayim for 17 years. Kedei lelameid mahu inyan yiridat Yaakov leMitzrayim. To teach, what does it mean that Yaakov's going to Mitzrayim? Shayasham shvasrei shana, that he's there for 17 years. Kiminyan tov, to the reality of tov. V'tikein et ha'pigamim shel ra, that he's fixing the rise, fixing the arayos. V'chol zeho il Yisrael v'yilti yishku'u b'zuamat Mitzrayim. And this is what kept Klal Yisrael from sinking in and getting lost in the tuma of Mitzrayim. Next paragraph. Bottom of the page. V'neyesh la'avin inyan yiridat Yisrael Mitzrayim davka. We have to understand Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim specifically. Darei lo nichlal ze b'gzerat brit ha-bein ha-bitarim. Meaning, why is it, yes, okay, in brit ha-bein ha-bitarim, Avraham Avinu is told that his children will be strangers in a strange land. But it does not specify, in nowhere in brit ha-bein ha-bitarim, does God tell Avraham it has to be Mitzrayim. So why in the end did it have to be that it was specifically Mitzrayim that Klal Yisrael go down to? Shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, Yadoa teida ki geri yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem v'avadum v'inu atam shvameot shana. That Avraham is told, know that you're going to be a stranger in a strange land. Zaracha be'eretz lo lahem, in a land that's not their own, and you're going to serve them. You're going to go down to a strange land. It doesn't say Mitzrayim. It doesn't say Egypt. It says you will go down into a land that is not your own. Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu then end up choosing specifically Mitzrayim? Why does it have to be Mitzrayim? The Korah Tum'ah, the root, the source of all Tum'ah. L'makom galutam, for the place of their galus. Give them a little bit of a break, exile them somewhere else. Why don't you go down to Mitzrayim? But elsewhere we explain the essence of what exile is about. Why did they have to go into exile? That the 60 souls of Klal Yisrael that go down to Egypt, they were tzaddikim that were kadosh v'tahor. They were the root sources, the root of all of the neshamas of all of Klal Yisrael. And why did they have to go into Galut if they were tzaddikim, if they were tahorim, if they were kedoshim? Why did they go into Galut at all? The meaning of Brit Bein HaBetarim was, of the Gezerah, of the decree of Brit Bein HaBetarim was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar LaAvram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Avraham, She'im b'yurtzono shebanav yiyu i'am hanifchar, that if he wants his children to be the chosen people, u're'uyim le'ma'amar haniskav shel kabbalat ha-Torah, and for them to be ra'oy, for them to be proper, for them to achieve kabbalat ha-Torah, Alehem la'avor kodem lachem zikuk alideva avadum minu otam. They first had to go through this process of purification, of the avadum minu otam, of being subjugated, of being subservient, of being pained through the servitude in Egypt. What did that servitude do? She is dakech hachomer shalehem. That the servitude of Mitzrayim would subjugate their physicality. It would break their physicality a little bit. Even though the 70 souls that went down to Mitzrayim, again, they were kadosh v'tahor. Mikol makom nitunim him beguf achomri. At the end of the day, they're in physical bodies. Ukedei lahagia l'ma'amad har Sinai v'kabbalat ha-Torah. In order to get to Har Sinai and Kabbalah ha-Torah, alehem lehachnia tachomer. They had to break their physicality a little bit. V'zeyiel yidei galut mehachnia. And that was through the exile that's breaking that physicality. That exile that's breaking down, they experienced tremendous physical hardship, and that broke their physicality, it broke down that physicality a little bit, even by the tzaddikim. She'as hayu re'uyim li'udam, then they would be ready for their destiny to become the Amal Yifchar. V'inei, the whole concept of subjugating and breaking down physicality, v'tarata midot, and purifying one's midot, they're all tsluyim b'midat yisod. It's all dependent on this midah. It's all dependent on the midah of yisod. The extent to which, and this, I didn't pick this piece for you guys in the sense that it was about lo aleinu, issues between ish isha. It was, well, hopefully you'll get back to the concept of purifying, going to wherever you go. Hold on a second. I don't know why they don't have a pro account for you guys, but it's telling me that there's limited time remaining. Can we all hop off and then hop back in? Okay, we'll do that. Let's do that right now. Okay, we're back. Let's go back inside. Let's go back to it's a very significant point what he was saying here. Let's go back to the end of the parentheses. V'nei kol inyanei hachna'at hachomer v'tarat hamidot. The whole concept of subjugating the physicality and purifying our midos, it's all dependent on the midah of Yisod. Meaning, In life, there are so many challenges in terms of breaking down our physicality. There are so many challenges in terms of turning away from the desire for physical instant gratification. But the primary way to break that reality, the primary way to purify ourselves on the level of purifying out, of purifying that desire, of purifying our physicality, the primary way is to work on this area. The more that I work on, the more that I put up fences, the more that I guard myself in the realm of arayot. Okay, we all just got thrown off. Let's try this again. One last time. You know what this is? You know, I think I've told this story, but I'm sure I've told this. All my stories I've told before. There are no more new stories. I've gone over that age. That's it. They're all old stories. So when I was in Camp Ask. I was in the Beis Medrash and Rav Judah Michel, he was giving this in his big, you know, excited, amazing way. He was giving over this shiur. And in the middle of the shiur, he's making this main point, and a bird flies into the room. And it was a shiur in Chassidus, so of course it was like 60, 70, 80% girls and 20% guys. So there was this beautiful shiur in Chassidus, and this bird flies in through, he's making this amazing point. And everybody just starts screeching. Like, that was it. Game over. Everybody starts screeching. Eventually it flies around, it's going back and forth, finally makes its way out. And he looks at us and he goes, you should know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu organizes that. That's the Yetzer Hara. He sent the Yetzer Hara. That's the Yetzer Hara in the form of bird coming to try to distract us because we're trying to learn something that is incredibly meaningful and important, and the Yetzer Hara is so afraid of what we're about to learn that it's trying to distract us. I've never, ever, ever been kicked off of a Zoom meeting before because I make sure to work that out before I go on Zoom. So don't know what the deal is with you guys right now. But the fact that was happening, that means we're at a very, very important point here. So let's come back in. Let's refocus. Let's see what he's saying here. Again, the concept here is, if you want to, he's telling you the secret how to beat the Yitzhara. You want to beat the Yitzhara? You want to break down physicality? How do you break down your own physicality? How do you break down your own physical desires? They're everywhere. When any normal person lives in this world, on so many levels, we're drawn after physicality. We're distracted by it, and we're dragged after, creaking, kicking, and screaming. We're dragged after physicality. How do you stop that? How do you fight against that? The primary battlefront of that war is in Arayos. If you protect yourself in Arayos, everything else comes along. If you protect yourself in the realm of Arayos, and that's on every level, we hinted to it before, and we've talked about it before, but you need to talk about it again and again and again. We're talking about on the most obvious and simple levels of protecting oneself in the realm of Negiya, of making sure if we haven't yet achieved a state, a reality of Shomer Negiya, it's something where, I'd like to hope that all of you are at that point already. If not, there's never too late to start working on it, but that the realm where we've achieved a reality of Shomer Negiya, that you're holding into the purity of, in the purity of the realm of Arayos on a physical level until you're married, to make sure never to breach that reality. If a person has achieved already a reality, has internalized and reached a reality of Shomer Negiya, Bezrat Hashem, there's levels upon levels. How do I talk to boys? You're about to go off into whatever your next stage is. Whether you're going off to college, whether you're going off and you're working, whether you're going off into internships, whether you're going off and living, those of you who are living in an apartment in Bezrat Hashem, you're going to live in an apartment together in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't matter. You're going out, you're leaving the bubble of Tiferet, which right now is a literal bubble. There's no real risk of touching any boys right now. Right? But I'm saying, like, when you're going out into the real world, we're on a lockdown now. My life looks exactly the same except for the amount of schooling for my kids. Meaning, there's no gedar in Arayos. There's no gedar in Arayos. You have to make your gedarim. So in terms of how you talk to the guy, to the boys that are around you, in your programs, in your internships, in your workplace, whatever the case may be, how do you speak to other people? What kind of language are you using? How flirtatious should I be? How flirtatious should I not be? What words do I use? What words do I never use? How do I elevate my speech? How do I elevate what I'm listening to? When I'm overhearing, which conversations, when I'm in the workplace and I'm sitting around, what conversations are totally inappropriate in terms of the content, in terms of the style, in terms of what's being said, and I walk away and that's not a conversation I want to be a part of. Things that I'm thinking about, things that I'm looking at. Right? The internet attacks us from every single level. Guys and girls in every way. There's endless, endless barrage of inappropriate things in the realms of Rios in terms of what we see on the computer, what we see in terms of advertisements, even on the sides of websites, on the whole thing. Are we making sure to protect ourselves? I mean, it doesn't matter. Guy, girl, doesn't matter. Every single Jew is chayav to have an internet filter on their computer. Chayav. If you don't have one, or you don't know what I'm talking about, or you don't know where to get one, send me a message and I'll send you a link. Every single Jew, there's no reason not to. Put on all the computers in our houses. My house computer has one also. Our phone has it also. Meaning, there's no hava mina. If it's something which it's filtering it for a reason. To purify the way in which we interact, the way in which we speak, what we listen to, what we look at, what we think about, to purify our thoughts. To keep our thoughts in a clean place. B'shachat al-Mutzlachat, do you know how hard it is to focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shmona Esrei when you've met your Basheret but you're not married to your Basheret yet? And that's even B'Kedusha, it's the person you're going to marry. That's wonderful, it's not the time. But level after level after level after level, my point is that it goes on infinitely. When you're married also, I've talked about this in the past before, B'Shachat al-Mutzlachat, you're a little bit closer than Shana Aleph. You're at least half a year closer than Shana Aleph. Well, I guess technically a full year closer than Shana Aleph. You're a full year closer than Shana Aleph. B'Shachat al-Mutzlachat, when you get married, it's something which I find very troubling personally. You see guys and girls who their entire dating career are so careful about these areas, about these inyanim. They don't talk to people unless they're dating them. They have their filters. They do this, they do that, the whole thing. And then they get married and they go to shul and they're hanging out with like six couples together at a kiddush and every song to everybody else's wife. Or they're going out to Shabbos tables and everybody's and the tables are all mixed together and every song to everybody else's spouse. And again, I'm not saying that they're bad people, chas v'shalom. I'm saying I don't think we think it through. For me personally, again, these are things to think about. When I'm sitting at a Shabbos table, yes, it's against my will. I don't like going and talking to other people, fine. But when my wife makes me go out to a Shabbos meal and interact with other people, right? One of the things that I'm cognizant of, when we have guests for Shabbos, one thing that I'm cognizant of, when we have couples over, if the whole table's talking, I'm fine with it. If I ever notice again, totally innocently, if because of the way that the conversation just weaves in and out, I see that I've now trailed off and I'm talking to the wife and she's trailed off and she's talking to the husband, I actively make sure in a subtle way to bring the table conversation back together. Because I shouldn't, we're all sitting together at Shabbos, we should all talk together. You'd be a mensch, I think. You'd be a mensch. But that's something which I'm sensitive to, something which I'm careful about. These are subtle things to think about. That's not, and again, that's also a rios. That's also being careful. To think about if you still have guy friends, should you still be, again, I'm not telling you to ditch all your guy friends. Should you still have guy friends? To what extent do you have them? Think of long term. Do you want guys dancing at your, do you want your guy friends dancing with your chassan at your wedding? It's something to think about. I'm not saying to you what to do. It's something to think about. It's something to contemplate. It's something to reflect upon. For people like yourselves who are already reaching levels of Kedusha and Tahara, who are striving for it, to just think about it in a little bit more and more nuanced ways, because this is how you subjugate all physicality. The more you subjugate this, the more you overcome this, all of the other challenges follow suit. They all follow in the footsteps of the extent to which you subjugate the reality of Arayos. And so too with Taharas HaMitos. That's what he's incredibly saying here. So too in terms of purifying a person's mitos. How a person purifies their midos also is contingent upon this. There are many ways to unpack it, but even on a simple level, the ways that a person will augment their personality when they're hanging out in a co-ed setting to impress a guy. Right? For you guys as girls. I don't care if I impress or don't impress guys. But when you're saying that, when you're in a co-ed setting, and like the way you augment your personality because you want to impress a guy. That's a real thing. That's a real thing. In terms of your midos, how you talk, maybe it's the thing that you want to come off as being a little bit smarter, a little bit sharper. So maybe you take a shot at somebody to show that you're a little smarter than everybody else. Maybe you want to come off as a little bit, you know, like, you're the cute one in the room. So you go off and you make a little offhanded comment in a way that you would never make if you weren't, meaning the way which we even interact and the way we bring our midos, the way we express our personality is contingent upon a lot of ways in Arayos as well. If a person is dating somebody else, right, and in the context of that relationship, if that relationship is a broken relationship that's founded upon you know, the wrong goals in relationships, it's going to have a negative impact in terms of how you express your identity. It's a lot to think about. And he's saying here that, again, our whole kol inyanei achna'at ha'chomer, the entire subjugation of our physicality, the tarat ha'midot, and the entire purity of our midos, is taloi on this, is dependent upon this. Somebody asks a specific question, ask it afterwards, and I'm happy to answer on that, a question that's that specific. More than happy to answer that afterwards. Okay. As the Sfarim say in the name of the Zohar, La Petach Chadat Rovetz, the Pasuk says in Bereshit, that sin is always crouching at the door. That sin is always there, right at the door, ready to attack you. He says, Da Pitcha de Gufa, where is the sin? Where is the sin standing? It's standing there ready to attack you in the moment of Arayos. That didn't translate exactly there, I purified the language there a little bit. But it's Dafka standing there. Where is it? What does that mean that it stands there, that sin is standing at the entryway? It's standing at the entryway of Arayos. Because all Kedusha is dependent upon this Midah. So too on the opposite. All Tuma comes from breaking these areas. All Tuma. I can't even tell you. You know, when guys would come to talk to me when I was on campus, guys who had been Shomer Negiah their whole lives, guys who had been Shomer Negiah even since Shana Aleph, and they're dating someone, and they know they're going to marry them. And lo avlinu, sometimes it happens that when two people are dating very intensely, somehow the Yitzhar gets it this way because they know it's the one. It becomes much harder to be Shomer Negiah. And you have people who their whole lives are Shomer and break it, lo avlinu. People who are Shomer since Shana Aleph and break it, lo avlinu. And there were times, lo avlinu, where these guys would come talk to me, say, Rabbi, you know, I can't believe it. I've been Shomer my whole life, and now I'm dating this girl. I know we're going to get married, but I can't believe we've been keep on breaking Shomer Negiah, and it's making me crazy. And we talk about it. We talk about it, and I would always put in there, just to always test to see if it was still true, because it always is true, and also because it was helpful in terms of help guiding the guy. I would say to him, by the way, I'm just curious, how's your davening? He'd go, you know what, Rabbi, it's so funny. I haven't been able to daven well lately either. Why do you think that is? And I wouldn't laugh, but I almost wanted to say, because you just broke Shomer Negiah. because once you bring into your life the Tumah of Arayos, it's metame every aspect of your being. It creates blockages in your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't learn as well. You can't learn as much. You can't daven as well. You can't daven as much. These aren't heterim. You have to still do it, even though a person does break arayos. But when a person goes and engages in these realities of tum'ah, it's saying here, v'chein chas v'sholom lehefech, every time the guy would say yes. And he would always be surprised that I was able, that I like had like this prophetic insight. It's like, no, you're telling me you. Again, I never gave mussar in those instances, but it was. But the mussar of it is, of course, if you're going to fall on arayos, it brings a tumah into your life. V'chein chas v'shalom lehefech. So to the opposite, kol inanei tumah, all tumah nimshachim mipegam midazo, comes from this, comes from damages in these areas. V'gam kinat ava kavod, jealousy, desire, the fight for honor, personal honor. Hamotziim et ha'adam in olam, that mamish, take a person out of this world. Gam heim tulim b'midazo, they're all dependent on this. And think about it, by the way. Think about it. Think about the honor in this world. Think about how day in and day out over the last, 4 or 5 years, day in and day out, the most powerful people in the world, every day there's a new news story about the inappropriate behavior in Arayos of people who are on top of the world. And once that happens, they lose everything. They lose their stature. They lose their power. They lose their shame. They lose their work. They lose, nobody respects them anymore. Even though everybody's doing the same thing. They lose everything. For what? You're willing to give up everything for this. Kina, tava, kavod, it all comes from this. It all comes to this, and it's all lost from this. Both of them. You fight for these things because of it, and you lose everything because of it. Hamotzim et ha'adam min ha'olam, they mamish take you out of this world. V'lachin ikar hachna'at ha'chomri'ut v'tarat ha'midot. And before we go on, it's so too on a personal level. You know, you talk to sometimes, again, these people who have been shomer their whole lives, and lo alinu, they break it. They come to you broken. They're not just that they're not davening and learning, they come broken. When a person has a certain level of tahara and they feel the tumah come into their lives, they feel dark and down. It's a very sad thing. It's a very scary thing. And it's a long road to get back. It's a road you absolutely can get back from. You can do shuv for anything. It's a road you can absolutely get back from, and certainly with guidance, and certainly if you continue to plow forward and you stay connected. But it breaks a person. It breaks a person, and everything, the extent to which a person gives into arayos, it breaks down a person's internal world, their internal kedusha. So much of a person's spiritual life, so much of it revolves around this. So much of a person's spiritual life revolves on the two key things, the two key aspects of Kedusha. He's only talking about one of them, right? We always talk about the two that balance each other out. This Kedusha in the realm of Arayos and Kedusha in the realm of Achila in terms of eating. But those are the two things. Those are the two things. Those two realities of Kedusha, which are the key elements of Kedusha, the more that a person purifies themselves in those areas, the more pure their life, their mind, their learning, their davening, their relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, their Avodas Hashem will be, and everything will follow it in those two areas. He's definitely talking about Arayos, but also we're coming up. We're coming up to Sefer Shmot. We're coming up to Shovavim. We're coming up to lead up to Tu Bishvat. All the issues of Achila are coming up very soon also. But purely in the realm of Arayos and in Achila, those two realms, you purify in those areas, everything else comes. You fall in those areas. Again, no, we're not talking about people who have issues, psychological issues, and we're not talking about eating disorders. I'm not talking about any of those things. We're talking about in a healthy, normal state of being, a person who elevates themselves in these areas, then they're elevating themselves in all areas of Judaism. When a person, again, we're not talking about a person who lo aleinu has issues. We're talking about a person who's in a normal frame of mind, a person who falls and gives into those areas from a normal state of mind and allows their ta'ava to overtake them. It mamish drags a person down. It mamish drags them down in everything, and then everything falls after it. V'lachach, therefore, ikar hachna'ata chumriyut, the main subjugation of physicality, v'tarat amidot, and the purity of our midos, hi al yidei tarat midat yisod, comes from purifying the midah of yisod. She shoresh kol amidot, it's the root, it's the source of all other midot. V'lachin b'char HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka b'Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them to Mitzrayim intentionally. He said, you know where you're going to become the Jewish people? You know where you're going to become a people of Kedusha? You know where you're going to learn how to become the Jewish people? Dafka b'Mitzrayim. That trial by fire is going to teach you how to be the Jewish people. So he dafka takes them down to Mitzrayim to make sure that the Jewish people are born into a reality, born as a people who knows that they have to fight for Arayos, to fight against the Arayos, to fight for purity against the Arayos. Hamakoma garua biyotir, the worst place that there was. Shesham yeh makoma galut lachnia tachomer lezakech hamidot likrot kabbalat Torah. That there, in the place of Galus, they would be able to be machnia, to subjugate their physicality, to purify their midos, in preparation for them going and receiving the Torah, being born on the contrasting background of Mitzrayim, and then 50 days later, going and receiving the Torah, having been born on the contrasting background of Arayos, and being born as a people of Kedusha. That in a place like Mitzrayim, they needed tremendous Kedusha to overcome. Since they left there with stopgaps, they left there with fences, they left there with walls up against Arayot. They were kadosh, they were Torah, they were ready for Ma'amad Har Sinai, they were ready to receive the Torah. Oh, so let's make it personal. Let's make it personal. So he says, next paragraph. V'zeh gam haderech lechol yachid lahagia liyudo. This is the way, the path for every single individual to get to their destiny. Ulehavchin ma'amad har Sinai prati shelo, and to get to their own personal har Sinai, sheyashayach v'mehuto le'ama nifchar, which is relevant to the essence of every single person of the chosen people. I'm not just a Jew because I was born to Jewish parents. I'm a Jew in my kishkas. I'm not just a Jew because my parents are Jewish. I'm a Jew down to the very essence, to the very core of my being. I'm a Jew in my very essence. Every single part of my body is Jewish. I'm Jewish to my core. Harehu tzarich reishit li zakeru lachnia chomro. In order to achieve that, to make myself Jewish to the core, just like the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, what do I need to do? The first thing I need to do is to purify myself and subjugate myself in these areas. That's how I purify my very being. That's how I make myself Jewish to the core. Judaism means not because Judaism is repressed and not because Judaism is obsessed with Arayos, because Judaism is obsessed with Kedusha. And what Kedusha means is that I'm saying no, I refuse to run after my desire to spread my relationship energy amongst thousands of relationships that are all ultimately about serving myself. And because of my dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm one of the chosen people and I'm Kadosh, I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu's people. I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu's people. I focus myself and take all of that relationship energy and singularly funnel it into the only relationship that matters. I funnel it into my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means to be a Jew. That's what Kedusha is. I'm not taking my emotional relationship energy and spending it somewhere else. I'm not violating my covenant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and touching things and touching people that I'm not supposed to be touching. I'm taking all of my relationship energy, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, physically, and I'm funneling all of it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, some of that is then spent on my friends as well. Kenei lecha chaver. And because of that, some of that, a lot of that is spent on my spouse because HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that I channel that into marriage. But I'm doing that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that it's part of that Kedusha. I have friends because it's part of that. It's part of that Kedusha. I give my relationship energy to my children because God commands me to. It's part of that. It's part of that Kedusha. It all exists within the confines, within the framework of Torah. But I'm putting 100% of my relationship energy into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why all throughout Tanakh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a mashal for Avodah Zarah as Klal Yisrael going and being unfaithful. What's the connection? Because when I go and I do Avodah Zarah, when I go, Lo Alino, when a person goes, they do Arayos. They're taking away from that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and spreading it somewhere else. And what they're really doing is instead of selflessly devoting their entire being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're selfishly choosing to engage in those relationships that are self-gratifying, physically, emotionally, psychologically, despite the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibits them. That's what Kedusha is. That's what Kedusha means. That's what it means to be V'atem Tzuli Mamlechet Kohanim V'goy Kadosh. That's the preface to Har Sinai. Is to be an Am Kadosh. This is the core of the Am HaNifchar. This is the core of being HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. And the biggest test in this, especially in a world that's post-Avodah Zarah, is in the realm of Arayos. It's not an unhealthy obsession. It's not a repression. A person should be alive with relationship. A person should be alive with desire. I have a desire for a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm obsessed with a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm obsessed with my wife. I'm obsessed with my kids. I'm obsessed with my friends. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells me to be. And that's part of my obsession with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's an extension of that. It's a part of that framework and that reality. That's the concept. So we talked about last time, right? That's the concept that in the centerpiece of the world, in the Kodesh HaKodeshim at the center, stands the Kruvim on top of the Arum. We talked about this last time. The Kruvim, one is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, one is the Jewish people. The whole centerpiece of reality is our relationship with God. Are we gazing singly at Kadosh Baruch Hu or not? And then again, what unites those Kruvim together is the Aron. They're bound together by the Aron, meaning the Torah gives us the framework of how to have that one-on-one relationship in a reality of Kedusha. That's what it's all about. Again, I didn't think about this. I didn't look that deep. I always skimmed the piece. But I didn't think about this when I said, you know, like, there's no greater message to leave you with this. You're going off, and if it didn't show off, Shana Bet, and going and starting to step into the real world. This is it. This is the struggle of life. This is what it means to go out there, and after having been trained how to be Jewish for the last year and a half, to become the Jews that you are in the world over the rest of your lives, this is the primary avoda. This is the source, this is the foundation, this is the framework of all other avodas. It begins and ends here. And everything else will be determined by this aspect of your reality as you go out into the world. This is the foundation, this reality of Kedusha. That's what he's saying here. Hariyu Tzarik, first line is Reshit. Five lines in on the last paragraph of the page. Hariyu Tzarik Reshit Lehizdakeku Lehachniach Omro. A person needs to first purify and subjugate their physicality. Ki kol zman sheshakua b'chomer, that as long as I am immersed, as long as I am enmeshed in my physicality, hare afilu im osik b'torav avodat Hashem, eino mesugal la'agia liyud hazeh, you cannot reach your destiny. Even if you're osik in Torah, you're still learning, you're still doing avodat Hashem, it doesn't matter. If you're enmeshed in physicality, you will never get to your destiny. You will never fulfill your purpose. Because there's something rotten in the core. It doesn't mean to stop learning. It doesn't mean to stop davening. But if you want it to lead you to your destiny, you can't do that when you're enmeshed, when you're sunken into physicality. And when we talk about subjugating one's physicality, and we already mentioned this a couple of times, there's levels in it. There's the first level, the second level, the third level, tahtim shni mishlishim. There's the first level, the second level, the third level. There's tarat ha-moach. There's purifying the mind. Shiyem moach yudi, that our mind should be a Jewish mind. Al yidei tarat u-machshavot ha-de-ot, through purifying our thoughts and purifying how we think. By making sure that we keep learning hashkafa, learning chassidus, that we continue to purify our minds to make sure that when we look at the world, we're looking with a Jewish outlook, that our mind is Jewish, that our viewpoint, our vantage point, our perspective on the world is a Jewish perspective, which is the only perspective, the only real perspective. And that comes from continuing to purify our perspective. That again, we're so careful what we listen to, what we look at. And we purify our mind, our thoughts, that we keep all impure thoughts out of our minds. That our thoughts and our thinking are both Jewish. Shiyem moach yudi, aydei taharat ha-machshavot v'adeyot. V'taharat ha-lev, we purify our hearts. Aydei taharat ha-ritzonot u'tshukot ha-lev. That we purify our desires and what we want. Not what we think about, but what I feel myself drawn after. We purify what I desire in life. You can get to a point where I want to learn more, I want to do more chesed, I want to daven longer, I want to say more tehillim, I want to connect with good things. I'm repulsed by negativity, I'm repulsed by tum'ah. I don't have to ask, do I or don't I want to walk into that situation? It disgusts me, because I'm Jewish to my core. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to see that. And again, everybody on their own level, and everybody more and more, you have to keep purifying yourself, purifying ourselves more and more and more. Ukimo kein tarat evarim. So too, to purify our physicality, our bodies, bring it all the way down to the practical. Our bodies, everything that we do is purified. Al yedei tarat ma'asim, that our actions are pure. Not just what we think, not just what we believe, not just what we feel, but to make sure that we follow through on that. Right? How many people in their lives, they desperately want to be pure, but they give in to desire. That from our heart to our desires to our reality, that it's all tahor, it's all kadosh. Shnichlal bazet tarat haguf v'tarat hanaran shiyeh yudim. That our whole body and our whole soul, mamish, every part of it, that it's all Jewish. It's Jewish to the core, which means that it's kadosh to the core. And that comes from putting up fences in these areas and purifying ourselves in these areas. V'zeu ikar avodah. This is the main avoda of a Jew, and this is why we've come into the world. Last page. To purify every aspect of our physicality. Through that we will fulfill our destiny in this world. And this is included in that which the Torah says, that Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim 17 years. The Torah is a Torah of life. It's not just teaching us stories. It's not just stories. The Torah is not just coming to teach us stories. They're also true stories, but that's not what the Torah's goal is. That it's teaching us why we came into this world and how to live in this world. It's talking about the coming of the neshama to the goof, makom gavoah, from the high place to a low place, makom namuch, sharad miyadrigad vohabi yoter laolam hashafel meliat haavot, that we come from the highest of highs all the way in shamayim, and we come down to this lowly physical world full of taiva. The Yerida Zoe Bechinat Yerida Tekov Mitzrayim. That's the Yerida of the Neshama to the Guf. That's like the Yerida of Yaakov to Mitzrayim. Shikar matarato litakenu lizakech et inyanei hataavot, that the main goal is to fix and to purify our taivas, binafsho shel adam mechamdatan, the things that our soul desires, that our body desires. Shatikuna gamor lifkamim shel ra hu lehafech hatara letov, that the main tikkun of these things, that the main tikkun that there is, the main tikkun of ra in this world, and is to take that ra into tov, to purify the arayos. Bifchinat amru tzadik itov ki prima alehem yochelu, is for the main avodah of the tzadik is to be tov, is to purify things and bring them to tov. Ki prima alehem yochelu, so they can eat the fruit of their labors. Tov. Let's wrap up here because we're coming to the end. Let's wrap up here. The idea of what he's saying is, again from the very beginning, the main thing, the main reason why Yaakov is going down to Mitzrayim on a broad level, which he didn't talk about, again, I just skimmed it, so I thought I was talking about this more, but on a broad level is that a person goes into Galut to raise up the Nitzotzot HaKadoshot there. Some of you, Baruch Hashem, are staying in Eretz Yisrael. Some of you are going down into Galut. Some of you are going down to Galus. Even though you're going to Galus. It's the other way. If you're going to Galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you there. And he's sending you there to do something. He's sending you there because there are holy sparks of Kedusha that have been lost in exile, that have been lost where you're going. And your job, you, Holy Shana Bet, your job is, yes, to cry in the airport. You cry when you go into Galut. Yes, to cry in the airport. But when you go back to Galut, you know that you're going back with a purpose. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you with a job. Your job is to go there and to raise up, to find those holy sparks and raise them up. That's what you're going there to do. I remember before the Corona days, small story, and then we'll really pull it all together. But I remember in the pre-Corona days, so this was, I forget which preemie it was. I think it was the second one. I think it was Moshe Chaim. My wife was in the hospital, and I was, yeah, it had to have been. My wife was in the hospital, and I was staying there for Shabbos. And there is a guest house there, and they had a guest house there for people to stay in if they needed to stay for a loved one for Shabbos. It was all organized. It was a chesed. It was a tremendous thing. And I ended up staying by a Jewish family, like a half an hour walk away, whatever it was. I preferred to stay there. But I went there in the afternoon, and I went just to take a break to go and rest a little bit and to daven mincha. And I stood there, and at the time, nowadays, halavai, at the time I never ever missed a minyan. Now it depends on the day whether or not minyanim are allowed to happen or not. But I never missed a minyan. And I remember I was standing there davening mincha on Shabbos in this in the middle of nowhere in New York, in this room by the hotel, by the hospital. And I was thinking about this piece. Maybe it was Dafka this piece. I was thinking about this piece of this idea from the Nesivos Shalom. I was like, wow. I was like, I don't know what it is. But I felt very inspired when I was reflecting on the fact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me here. He put my wife in the hospital. He put me here to daven your mincha. It means that in this spot, in this room, there's some holy spark that needs to be redeemed. There needs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed a mincha in this spot. And he sent me to do it. And I have an obligation and a responsibility, not just to daven, but to daven my heart out. Because there's some mincha that needs to happen here to fix this space of reality. Again, that's not a person, but a little example. When we're going back, you're going back and you're going to raise up. And think about everything that you've achieved in the last year and a half. All the Torah you've learned, all the personal growth, all the focus in Torah, in davening. You're meant to take that. And by the way, it's not just for you, we're talking to a lot of people out there. Wherever you are, wherever you are in the world, when you're living at home, you're going to work, you're going to school, wherever you are, if you're not in Eretz Yisrael, you've been sent into Golus because there are sparks of Kedusha there that you're meant to redeem. And that's why you're going there. And go there with confidence. And go there with purpose. And go there with drive. You don't just cry that you're not in Eretz Yisrael. You fight to get back by fulfilling your purpose. When you fulfill your purpose in exile, you come back. You come back. If you're sent there for a reason, so let's go. Do it. Get it done so you can come back. So you can come back to Eretz Yisrael. And more than that, what he's saying here is, when a person goes out to the world, for those who are already in the world, for you all who are really entering the world in a brand new way, Poshana Aleph, Poshana Bet, you're entering the world in a whole new way. For the rest of us, we've been here for a long time. And trust me, it's really hard and it's really complicated. That when we go out into the world, the biggest challenge that there is, when we go out into each one of our personal mitzrayims, is the challenge of arayos. And the more that we purify ourselves in these areas, the more we commit ourselves, let's say it in the positive, the more we commit ourselves as the chosen people, the more we commit ourselves to Kedusha, the more we commit ourselves to Tahara, the more we will blossom as Jewish people, that we become Jewish to our core. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you all specifically, that as you go out from Shana Bet, as you leave what I consider the womb of Torah and Avodah, and you're now being born into, you're now going out into the world for the first time. You're going out there from the from this reality of being in this space that's literally like it's a whole separate thing. All your needs are taken care of. Everything is taken care of for you. It's all Torah. It's all davening. It's all avoda. You're leaving that womb of Torah. You're leaving that womb of Shana Aleph and Shana Bet. You're now going out into the world for the first time. That you go out there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you to be able to stay strong in Kedusha, to be able to keep putting up those fences and to fight that fight against Mitzrayim every day of your life, and to be Kadosh and part of the Am HaNivchar, and feel like that, live up to being the Am, not be part of, to live up to being part of the Am HaNivchar, to be Kadosh, to raise up those sparks of Kedusha, to come back, and by all of us, wherever we may be, to raise up those things to where we are, to be Kadosh, to commit ourselves to Kedusha, and to live up being the children of Yaakov Avinu. And through that, all of us should be able to come back to Kedusha, to Eretz Yisrael, as we see the Gula, Bezrat Hashem, from here, Rabbi Amenu. It has been an absolute, absolute pleasure learning with you over the last year and a half, and especially the last half a year. I hope to continue being able to learn with you in different contexts, on Zooms, back on Zoom. Hopefully we'll be able to start traveling back and forth again in the near future, back in Eretz Yisrael. It's been an amazing, amazing opportunity to learn with you all. And plus, these were the shiurim that went out to everybody else in the WhatsApp chat. So there's got to be something to take this place. Hopefully we'll figure out a way together that we can all still be a part of it. But it's really been a schlis to learn with you all. Thank you so, so much for all the time you've brought to everybody out there and that you've brought to me. Really, really amazing learning with you all. Thank you.